Good evening. Being up here is a daunting task. I'm super nervous right now, but I want to thank the guys who agreed to come up here on not amazing notice and help lead. For Marshall, this is his first time leading in front of a congregation of this size. That's super hard, the addition of a microphone, the weird echo that happens when you sing into a microphone. So very thankful for him and leading some very relevant songs. I'm thankful for Chandler and his heartfelt prayer. I'm thankful for Caleb, his friendship, and of course, being able to read. Thank you. And I want to thank Spencer in advance for the prayer that he's going to pray. Tonight, the topic is called community, sharing this life with others. And if it sounds broad, it's because it is. And so I didn't really have any idea about how to cover everything in like 15 minutes. So I want to point you to a couple scriptures at first, and then I want us to dive deep into a couple scriptures after that. I want to take us to the man who wrote many of the Proverbs and the man we attribute the Proverbs to, and that's Solomon. So if you would, let's go to 1 Kings in chapter 3. Let's look at verses 5 through 9 together. This is right after, at least in the book, and generally after David died and Solomon was appointed king. Starting in verse 5, "At Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or how to come in. And your servant is in the midst of a people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?'" The theme that we can take from the wisest man who has ever lived is he cared about others. This gift wasn't about himself that he asked. It was so that he could serve others. He constantly called himself a servant in this passage in front of God. And certainly this blessed the nation of Israel during his reign. Some proverbs that I want to look at real quick before we go deep into a scripture is Proverbs 27 verse 17. It's one that many of us know. And that's where it says, "A man will sharpen the countenance of his friend like iron sharpens iron." And then real quick after that, I want you to turn to Proverbs 29, verse 9. And this is basically the opposite of the spectrum, and this is kind of a general advice to how to deal with others. "If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace." So as you study this further, maybe tonight or in the future, have that verse on your list. There was like 15 proverbs that I got for this, so I just wanted to cover a little bit. Where we're going to camp out a little bit tonight, and by a little bit tonight, I mean for the next 10 minutes, is Matthew chapter 20. I know you're turning a lot. You're about to stop, though. It's okay. Matthew chapter 20. Let's look at verses 29 through verse 34. "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. This reminds us about Solomon's prayer to God, about the humility that he showed, and about the selflessness that he showed especially. A few observations that we can get from this pretty short passage, that we can have this attitude of humility and this attitude of serving others, is that sometimes we have to slow down. We see in verse 32 that Jesus stood still. This is probably coming up on the most busy part of the year for us college students. And maybe it's pretty busy for y'all too, those who are in the work world. But we're in the swing of making music. And by we, I mean y'all. And then there's, you know, school is ramping up. We have midterms coming up. And there's all this stuff we may be doing. And so spiritual things and thinking about other people besides ourselves can a lot of times get lost in the shuffle. So the first thing that we have to do to be able to have the opportunity to share our life with others, because that's what we're trying to do, is to stop. Secondly, Jesus wasn't influenced by the crowds. The embodiment of righteousness on this earth, the example that we're supposed to set our lives on, wasn't influenced by the crowds around him. Verse 31 says, The multitude warned them, the people who were crying out, that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. More times than not, the crowds are wrong. And this wasn't just some evil crowd. This was the crowd that was literally following Jesus around as they left Jericho. This was, by pretty much most accounts, a crowd that was probably one of the better ones. So examine those who are around you. As we go through our day-to-day life, even here at Freed, even here in the great town of Henderson, examine the people that are around you. And if it takes it, be willing to be different. Because most people won't have their eyes set on helping other people. The third observation that I got from reading this passage, and that continues this theme that we see in Solomon's life and in the Proverbs, is that we have to be able to see the big picture. We have to be able to take a step back after we've stopped. In putting away some of the advice or the influence of the crowds, we have to step back and look at things long term. I want us to go back to verse 17 of this same chapter. And let's read what's happening. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And on the third day, he will rise again. Jesus was going to do that when this happened. Jesus was on a death march, we could call it. He was going to do the thing that, you know, we see in Gethsemane that he was dreading. It was something that stressed him out. It was something that made him hurt. But let's look at what he says at the request of John and James, because we have that little piece of scripture in between verses 17 through 19 and the base scripture for tonight. And that's in verse 28. Jesus says, Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve. Jesus came, as we just sung, he came to be crucified, laid behind a stone. He bled and died, rejected and alone. We have to be willing to go through a lot to be able to live in this life with other people, and specifically to share it with other people, like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. Because if he hadn't done that, we wouldn't be here with the hope we have. We wouldn't have the potential to go into heaven one day. We wouldn't have the potential to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," because we wouldn't have a future. Jesus had compassion on the two blind men. In verse 34, it says, "So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And of course, then they received their sight and they followed him." And finally, as we've touched on before, Jesus loved them as Jesus loved us. A verse that we hear a lot and sometimes we take for granted, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." This isn't the romantic love that we may think of, and it isn't the type of love that is conditional. Of course, you've heard the term unconditional love. But this is the type of love that you have that when someone you know that you're best friends with stabs you in the back, does something horrible to you, you turn around and buy their dinner, or save their life, or insert whatever. This is something that is hard. It's something that God chose to do. This act of love was not easy. When we have the opportunity to share this life with others, when we have the opportunity to make a difference in people's lives as we go out there, and hopefully we have the mind of evangelism, we have to be willing to love them like God loved us and like Christ loved us. And that's to take the shame, the rejection, the loneliness, and to give them Christ and that love. I'm going to read just for a minute part of a note that my mom gave to me just over 2 years ago as I was about to head to college. And I think as we think of the love that the people closest to us have for us, we can say the kind of love that it takes to write something like this or to feel something like this is the kind of love that we need to have to change the world around us. She starts, and this is going to seem really cheesy. My family's super cheesy. "Hey, sweet boy. I miss you already as I write this letter, and you sleep upstairs in your bed at home. That will never leave my heart. All the emotion you've had to watch me go through the last few weeks aren't because I think you aren't ready for this awesome adventure, or that you won't be even more awesome for all the new experiences you're going to have, or that you aren't able to flourish even more at such a great school, but only because I absolutely love and adore you, and have since I knew you were mine in the early summer of 1997. It's a long time of holding, feeding, hugging, and watching all of your growth. I couldn't possibly love or be more proud of you as your mom." That was like a 15th of this letter, by the way. When we go about our daily lives, and when we come across people that may not be our favorite, when we live around people who annoy us, who make us angry, who do things to thwart our life plans, or don't appreciate us in some way, give them love. And I know it's not some incredible revelation that I have to give to you, but it's one we see over and over. And it's one that's going to change the world if we choose to let it happen in our lives. So let's be selfless. And let's love people like Christ loved us. If you need more of this love in your life, and if you need to give this to other people more, if you've been failing at that, or if you want to become a part of this family that Christ died for and rose for, please come now as we stand and sing.